Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Malachi, the third chapter, verses 1 through 4. So listen for the word of God. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old, and as in former years. The word of the Lord. And our second reading comes from the book of Luke, the third chapter, verses 1 through 6. So again, listen for the word of the Lord. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the God came to the son John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for these words from your Holy Scripture. And as we reflect upon them this morning, may your Spirit be present to guide us and instruct us on their meaning. Amen. The Jewish writer and Nobel Prize winner Elie Wiesel once told a story about when he was a boy, and is when he would come home from school, his mother would greet him every day that he came home, and each day she would ask him the same question. Now, she did not ask, what did you do in school today, or who did you talk to or play with today? Or even, what did you learn today? Wiesel said she would ask, did you have a good question today? The Old Testament prophet Malachi was someone who had a few good questions in his day. If you have some time this afternoon, you might want to take a few minutes and read this short little book that happens to be at the very end of the Old Testament. In it, you will find some very good questions that still resonate today. Questions like, how has God loved us in chapter 1, verse 2? Or, has not God created us in chapter 2, verse 10? Or, where is the God of justice in chapter 2, verse 17? There are 55 verses in Malachi, and in those 55 verses, he manages to pose 22 questions. And then there is the question that is posed in the passage that Kim read today. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? The word of God that comes to us through Malachi is a word of promise, a promise that is good news to us, a word of a messenger who will prepare the way for the Lord, and then the Lord himself will appear. And this is the moment that the people of Malachi's time had been waiting for. This was the blessed event that had kept their hopes alive through all the dreary years of foreign captivity. And yet, the good news comes with a degree of uneasiness. For with the good news comes the question, a personal question that Malachi delivers to his people. Will I be ready? Will you be ready when he comes? And this is an Advent question. Behind all the lights and decorations, behind all the parties and the presents, behind all the music and the festivities is the promise that the Lord is coming. And behind that is the question, are you ready for it? And this is not an easy question, and it's not one that we really like to tackle. We would rather not face this question. For, as Malachi puts it, to stand before the Lord is to face the refiner's fire. In the presence of the Lord, we will be refined, improved, purified. But also, that means we will be changed. And when it comes down to it, do we really want that? But it seems that God does. The Bible often describes God as some sort of laborer or craftsman. God is portrayed as a potter laboring over the pottering wheel. God is portrayed as a worker in the vineyard, trimming and pruning the plants. God is portrayed as a carpenter using the plumb line to see that the walls are straight. And here in Malachi, God is portrayed as a smelter of raw ore. I have a picture in my head. God is at the foundry, has on a pair of overalls and heavy gloves to be protected from the molten metal. God has a face mask to protect the eyes. And God stokes the fire and fans the flames under the smelting pot. And the ore in the pot begins to melt under the searing heat. And as it does, the slag floats to the top and is skimmed off. And then the metal is poured out, pure and useful to the smelter. This is the picture that Malachi presents. We are the raw ore. And when the Lord's come, we will be smelted and refined, and the impurities in our life will be removed, and we will be made pure and useful to God. Only I'm not sure that we are always ready for this refining process. Sometimes it comes up upon us unexpectedly. In the 2007 movie Juno, which is about a high school girl who becomes pregnant, and the movie's time frame is the 9 months of that pregnancy, and throughout the movie, Juno wrestles with this pregnancy and this child and what it means for her relationships and with her friends and her parents and the baby's father and the adoptive parents, and what it means for herself. You see, Juno wants to see this baby born healthy and have a good life, but she is searching for what that means for her life, what she will have to undergo, what sacrifices she will have to make, what does she have to change in her life to make this happen. And so it is with our relationship to God. We want good things to happen, but we are not always prepared for what needs to change in our lives to make that happen. But that is what Malachi is telling us, that we need to let God work on us. Remember the name Terry Anderson? Terry Anderson was a reporter who was captured in Lebanon by separatists there. Back in 1985, he was held captive for 2,454 days. That's a lot of years, folks. Anderson happened to be raised in the Roman Catholic Church, but he had not practiced for many years. But during his captivity, someone gave him a Bible. He said that Bible came to him as a gift from heaven, and he read that Bible. And as he read, he pondered his life a lot. I mean, after all, he had 2,454 days to ponder his life. He looked back and found many things in his life that brought him shame. In his mind, he began composing a litany of confession, if only he would ever have the chance to confess it to someone. As time went by, he learned that there were other hostages being held where he was held. And he eventually discovered that one of those hostages was a Catholic priest, Father Jenko. Anderson asked if he could see this priest. And amazingly, his captors granted his request. And so Anderson got to meet face to face with a Roman Catholic priest. And when there, he began to recite his long practice confessional litany of all the things he had done wrong in his life and all the things he wanted to change about himself. And when he had finished, both men were in tears. And the priest laid his hand upon Anderson and said, "In the name of a gentle and loving God, you are forgiven." In the darkness of captivity, Terry Anderson had turned to God and found grace. Now, we may not be in a prison like Terry Anderson, but we are being held captive by our own sins and our own failings. In our second reading this morning, Kim told us about John the Baptist, who is introduced as a messenger who will prepare the way for the Lord and prepare us for the Lord. And John's message is simple and direct. Repent. Change your ways. This was John's simple message. The Savior was coming and people needed to get ready and change their ways so they would be ready. As one scholar put it, repentance is about the way we are traveling through our life. In sin, we are moving away from God. When we repent, we turn around in order to be able to move toward God. And that is the challenge that John puts before us. Turn towards God. Turn towards the one who is coming and make your life ready for God. It is a difficult challenge to do that. One that does not come easily, but is a challenge that both John and Malachi put before us. And it's a challenge that we highlight in this Advent season, a time when we get ready for the birth of Christ. It is a challenge to turn ourselves to God and away from those things that imprison us and keep us facing away from God so that we might be refined in God's love. You know, that might be a challenging question that Malachi puts upon us, but it is one that we do not need to fear. Going back to the imagery of Malachi, it is God who is the smelter, and it is God who is refining us, and it is God who is making us into something pure and beautiful and holy. I once read a story about a woman's Bible study class that was studying the book of Malachi, and when they got to the verse, "He will set us sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." One of the verses Kim read, "He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." These verses intrigued the women, and they wondered what this statement meant about the character and nature of God. And so one of the women offered to look into the process of refining silver and get back to the group. And that week, the woman contacted a silversmith and made an appointment to meet with him and to watch him work. As she watched the silversmith, he held a piece of silver over the fire and let it heat up. And he explained that in refining silver, one needed to hold the silver in the middle of the flames, where the flames are the hottest, in order to burn away all the impurities. And the woman thought about the verse, "He sits as a refiner and purifier of silver. And how God might hold her over the flames to purify her. And then she asked the silversmith whether he had to sit there in front of the fire the whole time the silver was being refined, and the man answered yes. He not only had to sit there holding the silver, but he had to keep his eyes on the silver the entire time. If the silver was left even a moment too long in the flames, it would be no good. The woman was silent for a moment, and then she asked the silversmith, "How do you know when the silver is fully refined?" And he smiled and answered, "Oh, that's the easy part. I know when I can see my image in it." Friends, we are going through the refiner's fire in one way or another. We are all doing that. But I know for me, it is good to know that God is the one sitting there holding on to me and watching me over and over while I'm being refined. And it is good to know that when I am fully refined, all will see God's image in me. Amen.